Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur Podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, well, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Wednesday, the 30th of October. I am Steve from Leon C, about an hour and a half from Spurs, White Hart Lane, for those American listeners or people that don't know. Normally I do the show, well, I have done the show for about 8 years now with Colin from Northern Ireland. Unfortunately, he's not been able to do it for the last few couple of years. Because his son is doing incredibly well at Rangers. I met his son several years ago. In fact, he used to ask his dad, "Can I come on the podcast, Dad?" His dad said, no, son. It's my thing. It's nothing to do with you." And unfortunately, we never had him on. So, but luckily, when I met Colin, Colin's son, I said to him, "Listen, whenever you want to come on, you know, it's my decision. Don't worry about your dad. You can always come on." So when he is famous and hopefully knocking the goals in for the mighty Spurs, he'll remember that and know that it was me that would always allow him on the show and not his dad, Colin. So anyway, moving on. Nice to have you listening. We had a quick update, actually. When we did the show, we got up to about 4,000, 5,000 listeners each week, which was absolutely brilliant. But the following on Twitter and Facebook, quite frankly, was appalling. We hardly got any feedback. The only negatives were towards me, which Colin found hilarious. But even that was few and far between. And I tried my best, as you know. Tried my best to be, to get some abuse, but just didn't get very much. The only abuse I really got was from Jason McGovern, who does some soppy podcast, somewhere else, I don't know. But, what happened was a couple of years ago, Cole just said, "I've had enough of this," and he's gonna pursue his own thing. I thought, okay, try a couple of people out, lovely guys, but didn't quite work out, and I got busy myself, so just thought I'd bring back the show after a couple of years, just, particularly now it seems a bit more relevant because, obviously we're not doing so well, and all these things go through our heads, don't they? If you're like me, the thought of Spurs just doesn't ever leave you, and I don't know about you, but this season so far, before I get into all the stories, has kind of been so stop start. You start the season and it's not great, it's all right, but then you have an international break, and then you lose a game, you win a game, you lose a game, you draw a game, you go out the cup, then it's an international break. And then you lose a game, you win a game, you lose a game, and then it's another international break. And we got another one coming up as well. I mean, I can't believe it. What we need to get is a bit of momentum, try and get some results on the board. There's another international break coming up in a couple of weeks. It drives you mad. But we could have done without Liverpool. This game, we won 4-0 at Palace a few weeks ago. Then we didn't get the result after that. And then we had Red Star Belgrade. We won 5-0. And then you think, right, okay, the momentum's back. What can we do from here? And of course, we've got to play the European champions away from home. So it's blimmin' hard to try and get a bit of momentum going. I'm quite sure if we'd have had, West Ham at home or Burnley at home or something, or even away, we might have built on that momentum. But, you've got to go away from home to Liverpool. I'll come on to that game in a minute because what I thought I'd do, and when I do a show on my own, apart from ranting irrelevant BS the whole time, is go through the stories on the Sky Sports app. Just stick to that and see how we get on. So first stories is what's happened to Dele Alli. Now, I sent a tweet out, and I've said this several times. Dele Alli, let's say that he's in the bracket of attacking midfielder. Who's the best attacking midfielder of the last 10, 15 years? Englishman that he can relate to. You've got two, really. You've got Gerrard and you've got Frank Lampard. Listen, is Dele Alli in their bracket in terms of talent? Steve Gerrard was, in my opinion, far more talented than Frank Lampard, but Frank Lampard worked harder. That's not taken away from Steven Gerrard working hard. I don't know how hard he worked, but we know that Frank Lampard worked incredibly hard because of all the stories. And I can believe that because I've just got this vision in my head of him being a kid with Jamie Redknapp and Jamie Redknapp running rings around him, being far more talented. And what's weird now is that they both will look back at their careers and go, okay, Jamie had a decent career, but my God, Frank Lampard had a fantastic career. And I bang on about it quite a lot on this podcast. Someone pointed out to me the other day that it's all right to repeat yourself over and over again because you have new listeners all the time. And, you know, I want to get my point across about this. Frank Lampard is somebody that he played for Chelsea, which means that obviously we can't stand him. However, he didn't play for Arsenal, although, you know, you can admire plays for Arsenal as well. It's not a problem, really. We called him Fat Frank. But the guy had a wonderful career, whatever it was, 15, 20 years. At West Ham, they said he wasn't good enough. And what if West Ham fans know? Well, actually, West Ham fans know quite a lot. But on this occasion, they were wrong. Because he had a fantastic career. And the point is that Dele Alli has got to look at someone like him and go, right, I've got more raw talent to start with. He started his career. I believe his stats are better than him. But what's happened over the last couple of years is he's regressed. He's gone back. And yeah, he's had his injuries. But, you know, he's back now. And what does he do? He does adverts. He goes on social media. He doesn't appear to, want to get the ball, which is what Frank Lampard did. You don't hear any stories of Dele Alli staying back in training, like Harry Redknapp says that Frank Lampard used to do. You don't hear any of these stories. He's working hard, he's trying his best, he's doing this and that. All you see is a guy on the football pitch, a bit of a strop on, the occasional flick and touch, and, you know, against Watford it was coming back, wasn't it? But, against Liverpool... Can you judge against Liverpool that, you know, the best team in Europe at the moment? I think you probably can, because, you know, you can still put the effort in. But I just plead with him. Plead. Go and look at Frank Lampard videos. I watched one the other day. It was painful to watch. But I watched it for about... I didn't watch the whole thing. It was on for half hour. You know, one of these Sky, 100 Premier League goal programmes. And every goal was a Dele Alli-style goal. And I just thought, you know, just watch it. Watch what he's doing here. He's having shots. He's getting behind the striker. He's getting to the byline. He's following up. And it's all about effort. And for Dele Alli, a young guy, we know he's got a six-pack because we've seen it on social media a million times in all sorts of different, you know, genres, as they call it. So... You know, it's your mate. It's your choice, mate. You know, what are you going to do? You can either step your game up. You're at Tottenham Hotspur, who, you know, although we're mid-table at the moment, our actual standing in English football and world football is certainly in the top echelons, considering the fact that we were in the Champions League the other day. So you got a choice. You can either, flounder there, you know, do a Tom Huddleston if you like, and just think to yourself, well, maybe I'll do two or three things in a game and that'll be it. Or push on, use your talent, don't waste it, put effort in and really get back there. Let's see it. A lot of people talking about getting that fight back. You know, we're playing Everton at the weekend. A lot of people telling Dele Alli to be nasty. I'm not sure that's the right thing. I wouldn't be surprised if more people tell him to start being nasty that he's going to get sent off at the weekend, actually, because I don't know if he'll interpret that the right way. Frank Lampard was nasty, but nasty because he got stuck in with his tackles and was hard. Will Dele Alli have the intelligence to do that, or will he have you know, be a bit thick, which I call a lot of these footballers? And, you know, it's fair enough. You know, they're brilliant footballers, but they're not the brightest in the land. So are they going to, is Dele Alli going to be the type of guy that goes, right, okay, I really need to sort this out? Or is he going to think, okay, well, everyone's telling me to get harder, get back to where I was before. And, you know, so I'll throw a few punches and get myself sent off. Yeah, what's he going to do? Be interesting. Moving on, story about Xhaka here. Obviously, it's Spurs related. A lot of people say, don't worry about Arsenal if you're a Spurs fan. I think that's the very reason why we got to where we got to, because we did worry about Arsenal. We did think to ourselves, right, we want to be where they are. Top four every year. We ridicule them because, let's get this straight. There is a difference between us finishing top four and Arsenal finishing top four. And the difference is this. Arsenal were winning doubles. And they every season said, yeah, we're going to go for it again. This is our season to win the league, to do this, do that. Arsene Wenger, in the end of season DVD, what? Arsenal do DVDs? Yes, they do, even though they take the mickey out of us because we used to do DVDs. And he said, I think next season we're going to win the lot. That's a quote that's famous. And yet the next season, all they did was finish above Tottenham. And they finished the season and went, yep, see, there you go. We achieved what we wanted to achieve, finish above Tottenham. And it's like, wait there, you have a go at us for being obsessed with you guys. And yet it's you guys that are now saying, come the end of the season, all we really wanted to do was finish above Spurs. So, you know, it's a load of old rubbish. I do listen to the Arsenal podcast, so you don't have to. Very interesting comments over the last couple of weeks. People saying that it's the best squad they've assembled for 10 years. Astounding. I think they've got two decent strikers. I think they've got a decent goalie. And apart from that, nothing much else. They're banging on about how Tierney is a world beater. They need Bellerin back. I think Bellerin is quite good, but he hasn't quite looked it so far. And obviously you've got this Xhaka guy who is the captain. And listen, you know, Spurs fans haven't, again, got a leg to stand on with this, because we actually booed players coming onto the pitch, or a player in particular. Going back about, what was it, 8-9 years, we were 1-0 down at home to Stoke. 20 minutes to go, we brought Adebayor on to the pitch, and Spurs fans booed the guy coming onto the pitch. Now, you might be listening to this going, yeah, but it was Adebayor. But you think about that. You're 1-0 down and you need a result. You know that the guy Adebayor, you know, he is what he is. But you know that if you, you know, I remember doing a podcast about it. You know for yourself that if he comes on to a round of applause, the guy can play. But he comes on to a chorus of boos, and I'm pretty sure we lost that game. And people afterwards are going, good, good. I'm pleased we lost, because we needed to let Adebayor know that we don't like him. So it's good to boo. You know, it's crazy. So you haven't got a leg to stand on, Spurs fans, in terms of booing our own players. However, it was hilarious to see Arsenal, because once again, they do hold themselves in such high esteem. Oh, we'd never do that. Well, you did, and it was quite frankly hilarious. Leicester are on this timeline here. Leicester have got a very, very good side, a couple of decent subs as well. But let's see what happens when they lose a couple of players around the Christmas period. I was seeing that they're playing in the Carabao Cup later on tonight. That'll be interesting because if they get into the semi-final, they'll have the same problem that we have over the last few years, which is you've got semi-finals, you've got league matches, you've got FA Cup matches all at the same time. What they haven't got is European games, and we've had that around that time as well. So let's see how they get on with those fixtures. Couple of injuries, as I say, we'll see. The other one is Brendan Rodgers. I mean, if he keeps doing so well, will he get picked off by somebody? You know, I don't know. Solskjaer, if he goes, will he go there? Will he go to Arsenal? You know, and we've got to say that Brendan Rodgers, although, you know, he's a strange character, he did do brilliantly at Liverpool and you know, lost his job, you know, through whatever circumstances. But don't forget that they beat us several times, threes and fours and five nils. So good manager. You know, let's see what happens. But a couple of injuries, not sure. They're looking good at the moment, though, you must say. VAR on the agenda here. What makes me laugh is people, Man City fans, chanting FVAR. When the VAR check was going on the other day, and then the VAR went in Man City's favour, and all of a sudden the chants immediately stopped. So, you know, people don't like it. You know, I think the vote the other day was 80% don't like VAR, 20% do. You know, we're 10 games in, so you've got to go, okay, 10 games into the season. You know, see what happens after 20 games, see what happens after 30 games, come the end of the season, let's see what happens. And then if they say, okay, we'll take VAR back out the game, let's have a season without VAR again and see what happens. My prediction is that actually people at the end of the day, let's say in 5 years' time, after maybe a couple of seasons with it in, a couple of seasons with it out, my prediction is in 5 years' time, we will have VAR because people will realise actually it does work. What's not working at the moment is how they're doing it. Crazy. Use the onside monitors. They've been told not to because of time constraints or slows up the game. Yes, it might slow up the game, but we need to get these decisions right. And also, all this rubbish about undermining the referee. The referee should be going to his earpiece and saying, can you let me know what happened there? I think I said this on the last show. He needs to make it clear that it's to help him. And referees like Mike Dean and like all the others need to come out and say it. Actually, we've had a chat about it. And what we've decided is that we want VAR to help us because we're not perfect. But at the moment, what they're doing is they're saying, it's kind of like the referees are kind of being like fans. They're kind of going, oh no, we're fans really. We don't really want VAR. We want our decisions to be the finite decision. And VAR, you know, we don't really want it to overturn our decisions because we're so perfect. Crazy. Actually come out and say, actually, we want this to help us. So if we don't quite see it, we are going to, first of all, ask the guy in VAR, in wherever he is, you know, watching it on screens. Then we're going to go over to the monitor if he's not sure. If he's sure, if he says, listen, I've watched it, it's definitely a penalty, then I'm not going to go over to the monitor. But he might say to me, listen, I've had a look at it, I'm not too sure, mate, you're going to have to go over and have a look for yourself. Now, he goes over and have a look. If fans start to boo, okay, then they're idiots. Quite frankly, they're absolute idiots. Because what the referee's trying to do is get the decision right. Now, if he comes back on the field, and then you've got the VAR guy who said, I'm not sure, The referee comes on and says, well, I'm sure, I've made my decision, and it's this. Then we go from there. And you know, and it might be that the two of them have failed to see what's happened, failed to make the decision. I'll go back to the Kane penalty versus Newcastle. Massive game-changing decision. VAR says no penalty. I think it was Mike Dean in charge. Didn't want to undermine him. Didn't want to overrule him. What he should have said was, listen, I'm not too sure whether Kane's gone into the defender or the defender's come into Kane. Go and have a look at it and make a decision yourself. Mike Dean can then run over, have a look at it, and think to himself, okay, not a problem. I wanted it to go, you know, he can almost say, I wanted this to go to VAR because I wasn't too sure myself. I've had a look, and yes, it's a penalty, or no, it's not. But do it that way. But make it clear that it's there to help the ref. So the ref can actually say, yes, it was. I want the VAR on this one because I didn't quite see it. No one will vilify you for that. No one will say, well, you should have seen it. Every fan in that stadium will go, mate, you need to have a look at that because that is not, we are not sure about that. That seems obvious to me. Just on a couple of other things, Rashford and Kane on the Barcelona radar. Yeah, fine. You know, these stories have been going around for, 4 years now. Van der Vaart telling Levy about Ziyech from Ajax. Is that how you say it? Ziyech? The guy that scored against us, very good player. Very much in the Mahrez mould, if you ask me. Very, very good player. Yep, love him at Spurs, but we'll see about that. Keane calling the fullbacks dumb and dumber. I thought that Aurier was unlucky with his penalty decision because it was a penalty, although it wasn't like a massive bad sliding tackle or a pullback. You know, something that you know is an outrageous decision by Aurier. But again, the decision, it was Poch's to play those two fullbacks. You can see Rose coming in for Davis. Possibly, but you can't. Why play Aurier again when you've got Foyth? You know, Foyth played two internationals 2 weeks ago over in South America. Unless he's looking at it and going, actually, in training, Aurier is outstanding and Foyth looks rubbish. I don't know. But, you know, but again, come out and say it. Just come out in the press and say, listen... We've got, I'm just going to let this dog out. Hang on a second. Go on. Oh, podcasting at its very finest. Right. So, come out and say it. Come and say, actually, in defence of Aurier, at training, he is wonderful. He gets stuck in. He's always there early. He leaves late. And I thought he was very just defend the players a bit more. Or, don't play them. But it's your decision, Poch, to play these guys. Klopp saying, I loved it. That's at our best. Look, I don't hear Spurs fans or any other pundits say this. Liverpool on Sunday were the best I've seen them. They were far better than they were in the Champions League. They were brilliant. The way they pinged the ball in. The way they played. The way they passed the ball. Let's not forget, everybody was fit. As they were in the Champions League final. Every single Liverpool player, 100% fit. No injuries, no niggles. Salah even coming back from an injury, so he's fully fit. You know, fresh. So, I'd like to play Liverpool when they've got a couple of players injured. That would be interesting. You know, we play all these top teams, Man City included. Everyone seems to be fit the whole time. Now, look, we're fit now. We've virtually got a full fit squad. We didn't earlier in the season, and we certainly didn't last season. But I'd love to see us play some of these sides without their fully fit side, when we're fully fit. I can't tell you the last time we played Chelsea and they had four or five people out and we were fully fit. All the times that we've had several players out, yeah. So, look, you know, Liverpool are the best team in Europe at the moment. They're on fire. We lost 2-1. If we'd have had a different, you know, squad rotation, other players playing, not sure the score would have been particularly different. I think we need to move on now and go, look, okay, we lost 2-1. We don't beat ourselves up too much about it. Anything else here to talk about? I just think that, oh, let's have a look through here. Mostly all about Poch. Harry Redknapp saying that Spurs don't need new signings. Harry Redknapp was a terrific manager for Spurs. And I think that he's right to a certain degree, because I think the squad is good. If you look at, you know, the squad, I might be missing a couple of players out here, but the players that weren't in the squad on Sunday were Lamella, because he had a knock, Sessegnon, who hasn't played yet. And apart from that, you know, you look at our bench, and it was brilliant. You know, the player, you know, the names, the players. So what do you do? I don't think Walker Peters was on the bench either, and obviously Lloris. But, you know, I just think that going through the season now, we've got to keep everybody as fit as possible. We've got to hope that other teams, you know, and this might sound weird, but let's play these other teams when they've had a couple of injuries, like we normally have, and see how they do then. Because I'm sick and tired of playing teams when we've got Kane injured, when we've got Lloris injured, we've got Vertonghen injured, when we've got this player injured and that player injured, and no one even talking about it. So I just think that have a little bit of luck now for the rest of the season. Keep everybody fit and we'll see how we get on. Terry Hill, really, really nice guy on Twitter, has said, has put a message out saying, where do you think we'll finish in the season? I think it'll be very, very, very hard now, because we've got, if Leicester stay fit, they'll get top four. Chelsea will get top four. I have no doubt about that. They've not only got very, very good players, they've also got a brilliant manager, and they've got a squad. So I think the best we can hope for is fourth. We should get fourth, because I think we've got a better squad than Leicester. But if 1-11, you know, the way they're playing at the moment, you have to say that they're equal, if not better than us, and we're 8 points behind them. So even if we are a bit better, I don't know if we'll make out 8 points. I think that we'll finish fifth this year, but I don't want us to, because I do not want us to get into that Europa Cup. I want us to seriously now. I said this on a different podcast this week. I said that I want us to finish eighth or ninth, and I want to be sitting round the pool, talking to an Arsenal fan in the summer, and hit them being in Europa, so that I can turn around and go, so well done for finishing fifth or sixth, and we finished eighth or ninth. However, you've got Europa coming up. You know, and hopefully even with the way it's going, they'll have to play a couple of games in July. You know, because when you're in Europa and you finish about seventh, you have to play in July, don't you? For goodness sake, please don't make that be Spurs, because we will struggle. Look, I'd love to have a clean run at it. I'd love to have a clean run, like Leicester did when they won the league, like Chelsea did when they won the league last time. No European football, no midweek distractions, and just go 38 games in the league. Bang, 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 bang. Each weekend, knowing exactly what you've got to do. Cups, fine, absolutely. Love a cup. But if we can have a clean run at the league without any distractions, without the European distraction, I would love a season of that. I think we could do really well with that. But unfortunately, I don't think that'll happen. I think we're too good to get eighth. I think we'll finish in the top seven 8. You know, obviously the other teams, if they win the cups, you know, the Europa Cup drops down, doesn't it, several places. So hopefully we finish 4th. If not, hopefully finish 8th and out of Europa. Failing all that, it's a case of where I think we'll actually finish is 5th. So, look, up the Spurs. If we do finish 5th, it will be because we've had some decent results. You know, you can take some positives out of that. If we do finish 8th, we will probably lose to, you know, Arsenal and Chelsea and all those teams and have to go into work the next day. Whereas if we finish 5th, we'll beat those teams at some point down the line. So, look, you know, we'll see what happens. But at the moment, I'm hopeful that we'll be all right. And, you know, come on, you Spurs. And, you know, thanks for listening. Oh, I just had a... just had a message here, actually, from Rotio DMB. Been in touch over the last couple of years. Quite interesting debate. And he said, does Poch want to be there? Well, this is what I'll say about that. I did a stadium tour on Monday. And the overwhelming thing about it is that so much of the football side of things was down to Poch. I don't know if it's because they've been told to say it or whatever, but it doesn't sound like it. When you go into the dressing rooms, for example, the guide just constantly says, Poch wanted this, Poch wanted that. And it's things that, you know, can't be changed. I mean, they can be changed, but, you know, things like the table in the middle where the kit goes. So in the away dressing room, you've got all the tables in the middle. And the guide said Poch particularly didn't want that. He just wanted a horseshoe-shaped dressing room, which they've got. And he wanted this, he wanted that. And everything he said Poch is what Poch wanted. Even out to the corridor, where he said Poch wanted this photo and this photo, you know, these messages and these images to inspire the players. And it seems to me, and I've said this before, but when, and this is really, I mean, it has been for the last year, but I've listened to loads of Spurs podcasts this week, and they have banged on and on and on and on about Levy and the amount of money he spends. Well, when you go to the stadium and you see it, if you can't put two and two together and go, wait there, you've got this massive stadium, all expenses, you know, no expense spared whatsoever. It's an absolute glorious building. Everything is pristine. Everything looks fantastic. There's nowhere you go, oh, I'll tell you what, they didn't have cut corners there. You know, they haven't put that in there or that in there. It's absolutely exquisite. Going to let the dog out again. 1 second. Come on then. Trying to do a Spurs podcast. Goodness sake. Right. So it is just fantastic. And, you know, it's too much. My wife came with me and she said, crying out loud, these pampered footballers, and you're like, yeah, actually it is a bit over the top. They pipe in smells, and I'm not joking here, you go on the tour, they pipe in smells from the stadium, so that when the players get out to the pitch, they're used to it, like the grass, the smell of the grass. Don't ask me what that all means, but that's what they told me. So everything, you know, Levy can't, yeah, when he was doing the stadium, and you can just imagine, you know, a year ago, and Levy going into work every day, and it must have been all about the stadium. How's it going? What's going on next? What's this? What's that? The guide kept saying, you know, this had to be changed because they brought in red nuts and bolts, and, you know, he said he had to send them back because he said no red anywhere in the stadium. So yeah, those little things you have to give Levy credit for, because those are the things that we would pick out. some things you can't change. You can't change AIA, you know, the company that gives us millions of pounds every year for our sponsorship, and say, sorry, I know that Chinese tradition is that red is, superstition is that red is a lucky colour. Sorry, you're going to have to change a million years of, or thousands of years of Chinese superstition because Spurs don't like red. These things we can't change if we want all that money. Also with the NFL, really, honestly, guys, what are you worried about? Of course, the NFL, it's Spurs Stadium. The NFL, I haven't got any interest in the NFL, but it must be, surely. I don't know, I mean, but it must be giving us loads of money. Must be. And the only reason I think that we haven't got naming rights on the stadium yet is because that in America, what they do is they say the name of the stadium over and over and over again. So they'll say this stadium, that stadium, whatever. So I'm thinking that Levy, in his infinite wisdom, is going, well, if we keep it at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, maybe for a year, year and a half, 2 years maybe, then as a brand, what you're doing is you're increasing the name Tottenham Hotspur. Because make no mistake about it, you go around the world and you say to somebody who you support, half the people can't say Tottenham. You know that. You know, you go somewhere, Cyprus or wherever you go in the world, Greece, wherever you go in the world, who do you support? You know, they say, who do you support? You go, Tottenham. And they go, what? And you go, in London, Tottenham Hotspur. Ah, the Spurs, you know, that's what they do. I've had it a million times when I go on holiday. They know, you know, Harry Kane. So to expand the brand of Tottenham Hotspur. And finally, just on the Levy thing, you know, the criticism about buying the players. This is again what it comes down to. Pochettino could have walked into any job a year ago. He all he had to do was say, actually, you've not given me the budget I want. I'm walking. Knowing full well that the United job would have been available, Real Madrid would have been available, any job. Because that's all he had to do. Just say, sorry, I've had enough here and I'm going to go. He could have walked into any job. But what he thought was, and it must have been the case, that I've got the players here. Or he said to Levy, I don't want any players. You know, or same thing, I suppose. Saying he doesn't want anyone. If he'd have said, put this scenario. Okay, Levy, I want three players. Daniel Levy turns around and says, well, you can't have them. Why would Poch stay? Oh, okay, then. I'll tell you what then, Daniel. I'll stay, even though my stock is as high as it possibly can be. I'm the most sought-after manager in football at the moment. I'll stay at Spurs, even though you're not giving me any money. Even though I can go to Real Madrid tomorrow, or United tomorrow, or any other of these top clubs tomorrow. I'll stay at Spurs and not do so well. Why would he do that? Yeah, I just look at it logically and go, why would he do that? The only thing I can think is Pochettino has said to Levy, do you know what? I'm happy with my squad. I want to keep what I've got. I've built something here. I've got pride in this squad. I've built them myself. And I want to stick with them. I want to see how we get on. And he took him to the Champions League final. Not so bad. Not too bad. As far as Levy concerned, listen, why wouldn't he want a successful Tottenham? Why wouldn't he want Tottenham to be as successful as possible? Why would he want Tottenham just to finish in the top four every year? Why wouldn't he want Tottenham to win cups? Surely, winning cups, winning the league, surely that, you know, Levy, the money grabber, surely that gives him more money, doesn't it? If you do that. He's not going to give him less money. Or the same money. If you're winning cups, trophies, surely that is going to get you more money. isn't it? In terms of sponsorships, in terms of everything. So, it's a nonsense. As Roy Keane would say, it's a nonsense. We'll see how we get on. What do I know? I might be completely wrong, but I just try and look at it logically. Sorry for the drivel that I spout on, but I'm doing this on my own. But I still enjoy it. It's a bit of therapy for me. Good luck. See you later. Come on, you Spurs.